saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, the interesting about this thing about this story that after reading again, I've read it a bunch of times, but reading again for the last time, it looked down in verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years is a long time. You know, sometimes we'll have an issue in our life and we'll pray about it, and after a week we're already giving it up. For 38 years, this guy has been seeing that angel come down to the water. He's been seeing people come down and get in the water as soon as that first the water was troubled, come in and healed whatever disease that they had. And he's been waiting for however long. He says he's been in that case for 38 years. So for however long, he's been waiting and wanting to get healed of this disease. And Jesus comes down and he sees him and he asks a simple question, Wilt thou be made whole? And he says, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And he said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Just like that. You know, he's waiting for somebody to come and help him, and there's no one that helped him. And Jesus steps down. I mean, who knew that Jesus would be there that day? But for that long he was waiting. He had an infirmity, and he was healed of it. And I was looking in Romans chapter 6:19, because when we got saved, we trusted Jesus to cleanse us of our sins, and we trusted Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins, and that happened instantaneously. But whether we like it or not, we all have an infirmity, and that's our flesh. In Romans 6:19, it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So even though we're saved, we still have this flesh that we deal with day after day, and that's our infirmity. And look down in Hebrews chapter 4, if you're there already, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I thank God that I have a high priest that no matter what my infirmity in my flesh, every day that I deal with, tempted in all points and yet without sin. No religion can claim that. No religion can claim that. You can't say Muhammad was tempted in all points without sin. Buddha had to find his enlightenment. Nobody. Tempted in all points without sin. What a greater champion. If someone has an infirmity, what greater champion than someone who just took care of it all and had no problems with it. No problems. And just a last thing, you know, it says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, a little side note for that man at Bethesda, the impotent man. He was waiting to go into the water to get healed. He was waiting. He saw the water rippling, and he was waiting because of that angel to get healed. But when Jesus came, it wasn't like Jesus picked him up and put him in the water. Jesus said, Wilt thou be made whole? And he said, Rise, take up that bed and walk. And he rose right there. He didn't even need the water at that point. Jesus was enough. And we don't need to lean on other things to get ourselves out of situation. We don't need to lean on what so-and-so says. We don't need to lean on what Dr. Oz says about things. We just got to go to the Word, and we got to see what Jesus says. And we just got to lean on Jesus. Because Jesus is our all in all. If he could save us, he can keep us. And he said that he will. So I just got a blessing out of that.
All right. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. If I could find it. I just got a blessing out of this chapter here. I was reading this week, and I kept on opening up to this part of the Bible, and I was like, I don't know. So I read it, and I got a blessing out of it. So I hope you guys got a blessing out of it, too. So I'm 2 Chronicles 32, and I'm just going to read the first few verses. It says, After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and camped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. And it goes down to verse 8, and it says, With him is an arm of flesh, Hezekiah speaking, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. In the previous chapters, you see Hezekiah, he's rebuilding Israel, and he's taking down the graven images, and he's getting the people right, and, you know, there's a victory going on in Israel, and, you know, they got the sacrifices, the offerings coming in chapter 31, and before Hezekiah, everyone was just doing their own thing. They were worshiping their own gods, their own images in the high places. And now you got Hezekiah. He reestablishes Israel. He's on the right path. He's right with God. And you got Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, the Assyrian Empire, is conquering all these other places, comes in, and he's at Jerusalem's door. And it's just like the devil to do that. You know, you have victory in your life. You'll be right. You come back from a youth rally. You come back from a Sunday night service, Sunday day service. And you'll feel good. You'll be like, you know what, I got a handle on some things. But the devil's going to come and tempt you right away. It's like that seed. He's going to come. He's going to see if he can take it out from your heart. And you got to be ready for it. And he asks seven questions here, Sennacherib, type of the Antichrist coming in. And says, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? He's going to ask you, what are you trusting in? So what are you going to say? Right, what are you trusting in? He's asking you. What are you trusting in? It says the people said they rested upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Well, where did Hezekiah get those words from? Where was he getting all this confidence from? You know, you can't just be getting that from your parents or, you know, from your pastor. You can't be just resting on those words. You've got to be resting on the words of what they're resting on. And then he says, doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? You know, where's God? Where is he? You know, where's all your friends? Where's everybody? Where are you? You know, you're by yourself. They left you to die out here. You're in the thick of the battle right here. And, you know, what good is that doing? You stay in Jerusalem trying to stay right. And then he says, hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? You know, weren't you having fun out before you were living right? Before you had victory? Weren't you having a little bit of fun? Yeah. You know? Weren't you enjoying, you know, your old, you know, sins of the past life, you know? And then he says, know ye not that what I and my fathers have done unto all the people over the other lands, were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their land out of mine hand? You know, he's just going to keep on going. He's just going to keep on taunting you, putting in doubt. He's just going to keep on asking you, hey, look what I did to that family over there. Look, oh, they tried living right. Where are they now? You know, look at your friends that used to come to church. Where are they now? You know, they living right? Look what I've done. Is it worth it? Who is there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? And then he says, now therefore let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom is able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? Do you know your God? Can God deliver you out of the troubles that's going to come for you? Is when the devil comes and starts asking you all these questions, these seven questions, are you going to have an answer? Could you give an answer? What are you going to do? Amen. Are you just going to, you know, tuck tail and run? Or are you going to, you know, just sit there, you know, just look with the deer in the headlight look? You know, are you actually going to take a stand? Are you actually going to look, go back to the Word? And after these questions, no one answers these questions, by the way. But it says in verse 20, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. And after hearing all those questions, you know what? You don't even need the answer. You don't even know what to do. But I read here that Hezekiah, after all that, and after all the taunting that they went through, all he did was he just got on his knees and just cried out. Just cried out to heaven. And I've been there when I've had victory in my life, and I don't even know. There's just doubt. You know, you go to school, you hear all these things about, like, you know, all these different beliefs and all these different religions and stuff like that. And you know what? It puts down on your faith, but you know, it just discourages you. You know, it's just a lot of just discouragement. But you know, you just got to remember that your God is greater than Sennacherib, than any Antichrist, than the devil, and any of those doubts, any of those people that could think that they could put doubts in your mind, and He's able to deliver you out of that. And so, and that's what happened. And then later in the chapter, the devil didn't stand a chance. Sennacherib was killed by his own people. So, just keep on keeping on, and I hope that your rally just does some good works for us.
Amen. Don't worry, it'll be short. Go to Romans chapter 1. I don't mean to be a stumbling block when we sing, but when I sing, it's just to stir up my own pure minds by way of remembrance, just to break up my own fallow ground, just try to shake myself off. And I don't mean to throw anybody off. All right, Romans chapter 1, And let's start in verse number 14. Romans chapter 1, verse number 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And we have a debt to pay, young people. We've got a debt. We are some of the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Truly, we are. I confess, probably maybe mine, my bill is larger than most. I've grown up in this place. I've grown up with a solid Christian family, with parents who tried to train me in the right way. And I owe it to them, the very least. If they trained me up in the right way I should go, I should not depart from that path. I owe them that much. I owe them that for those prayers, their hard work. It was probably just easier to let me do my own thing. But they stepped in the gap and they trained me in the way that I should go. And I owe them that much to come out and to serve the Lord. I owe my pastors. I owe my pastors for just consistently preaching the word faithful and faithful and faithful, on and on and on and on. I owe them that much for all that they've invested in me to come out and serve the Lord, and so do you, and so do we. I owe my dear, dear brother Paul, who for the past 7 years has sacrificed his life, sacrificed it, truly, and invested that much time and prayer and just personal counsel with me, and many, many of you. You owe him that much to turn out and just do all that he wants, all that, as Pat said, they all just want you to have that good success in Joshua chapter 1. That's all that they want out of us. We owe them that much. Go to Luke chapter 12. As Brother Spurgeon said yesterday, you don't just walk away from someone who took a bullet for you. You don't just walk away from that blood debt that the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bought with the price, the blood of Jesus. Can you put a cost on that? You can't, but I owe him that much. I may never be able to repay, but just like the words of the song goes. How does the song go? Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. It's the best I could do. I might not be able to repay that debt of love that I owe, but I just give myself away. It's the best I can do. We owe that much. We owe that much to all that are around us. Luke chapter 12, verse number 46. I always have to brace myself on this verse because it's so true and it cuts to the heart. Starting in verse number 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I've been committed much. I've been committed the oracles of God. I've been committed the Holy Spirit of God. I've been committed filet mignon, as it's been said in this place, on and on and on. I owe much. I'm going to be accountable for that much more, and so will you. And I just put this charge before you here this morning. You know, at least just start with the desire to be able to try. Just try to give that back to Him. Lord, I could not possibly give back all just the blessings and riches of this place, but I don't just want to be like a sponge, just soaking in everything that I know, just soaking everything that I've been taught, the ways of this book, and just squander it on nothing. I don't want to receive that cheap grace, that grace of God in vain. And man, just Lord help us, man. We owe a lot. Lord help us. I just lay this charge before you. I encourage you to just have that desire in your heart. You know, ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be able to try to do my best for you because you gave your best. He wasn't just a part of my salvation. He became my salvation. He gave of himself all. And I just want to be able to try to do the same. And I just laid that before you this morning.
Well, amen. It's good to be saved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being able to be here. And thank you, Lord, for this church and Brother Veach. And Lord, all the young people that are here. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray most importantly for when Brother Spurgeon comes up here, pray you fill him with your Spirit. And God, I pray that you would just get a hold of our hearts and help us serve you more. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Very quickly turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Just read a few verses to you. 2 Chronicles 34. The Bible says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. That he was 8 years old when he began to reign. How old is your son back there, brother? The next one. Is he eight? He's seven. That means Josiah here was eight. And they made him king over Israel. That means, what if they came in here today and told you you're going to be the president of the United States? He'd probably do a better job than what we got in there right now. Amen. But Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. That means, can an 8-year-old do right? Well, let's read what the next part of this says. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yes, an 8-year-old can do right. Amen. Then let's read on. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, he began to seek after the God of David his father. That's 16 years old, 8 and 8 and 16. You say, can a 16-year-old seek God? Sure they can. I wish, and I'm sure Brother Spurgeon would say the same, I wish I would have sought God at 18 years old, 16 years old, at your age right now. Testimony after testimony, you young kids in here can say that you grew up in church. Don't squander that. Don't let that just flush down the toilet. It took us a long time before we got to the point where we actually, in our heart, sought after God. At 16 years old, you can seek God. You can seek after Him. And you know, God could use you in your life and use you in a big way. He did for Josiah. We're going to read about it real quick. It says, and for in the 8th year of his reign, verse 3, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year of his reign, in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves. The groves are what you see when you pass by a Catholic church. A grove is where they got Mary and all the flowers around it and everything like that, where they go and they bow down to that. That's a grove. He's now just a young boy in his reign in Israel, and he's going through Judah and Jerusalem, and he's purging all that out of it. As a young man, God's using him to do that. And here he goes through there and he gets rid of all the molten images. And then if you read on the rest of the chapter, it talks about a man named Hilkiah. And Hilkiah brings him a book. And that book ruins him. And over there, if you look over there, a few verses over, look at verse 39 real quick. And we'll just read that and I'll be done. Look at verse 39. He gets this book of the law. And it ruined him. And you know what some of us in here need to do as young people? You need to get a hold of the Bible. You need to get inside your heart and let it ruin you. You can't keep going along with mom and dad and everything. It's time to just get inside your own heart. Seek after the book of the law. And they took this book of the law and they started reading it and they read the whole book of the law. Look at verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that he found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes and all, with all his heart and with all his soul, and to perform the words of the covenant which were written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So young boy here who was set up to reign changed the whole course of Jerusalem and Israel. and all the countries that pertain to Israel. He said he got them all to follow and stand to the words that were in the book of the law. So one person that does something, God can use them in a mighty way. But what I want to point out really quickly here is 11 times in these verses we just read, there's one word said. And that word is all. You know, God can do something with you, but only if you give your all. What he just said up here, that it's our reasonable service, it's a debt that we owe. You know what you owe? You owe all. All can never mean anything else. All means all. You say, but how do I give all? You just do it. You just come down to an altar and tell God, here I am, I'm going to give all. I believe this with all my heart. I believe salvation is a decision you make. I believe it's out of your free will, that when you come down or wherever you were at, when you got saved, there was a moment where you called upon the Lord and asked Him to save you and asked Him to wash your sins away, knowing you were a sinner and that He died on the cross for you. I believe that was a one-time decision that you made. I also believe giving your life to Jesus Christ is a one-time decision. Yeah, you'll have to do it over and over again. But I think there has to come a time in your life where you decide to just give all. And you just get down. You know, I had to do that once. I got down with the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't have much. I don't have hardly anything that I possess, but I'm going to give it all to You. Would You take it? And you know what He'll do? He'll take it. He took mine. He took my all that I had. When I went down and gave my life to Him, He took it. And I'll tell you what, there ain't been a greater decision outside of salvation that I ever made than to give my all to Jesus Christ. And there won't be a better decision that you'll ever make than to give your all to Jesus Christ. You know what? God could really do something in here this next service and tonight if you'll just decide to give your all. What if He had your all? What would He be able to do with you? What would He be able to do in your family that some of them are lost? What would He be able to do in your school with your friends if you just give all? Amen.